and ain't no wannabes here with some not so nice advice for your writing career. To be clear, no punches will be pulled, but the punch may be spiked. How they like before they get on the mic. To my left, we got the mighty Mer Lafferty, and if I piss her off, believe me, she'll come after me. And her co-host, Matt Evan Wallace, on the right. Yes, she may be half as hype as she can take him in a fight. So settle in, folks, buckle in and boot up. Time to meddle in a way to make your writer shut up. It's hard work, but the perk is that it's fun and exciting. Facebook will still be there when you're done writing. Ditch Diggers! Ditch Diggers!
Coming to you live from the poured concrete foundation of the official Ditch Diggers lair. It is the Ditch Diggers' first episode of 2020 with Mer Lafferty and Matt Wallace. How are you, Matt?
You know, for official purposes, I'm amazing, Mer. I'm filled with enthusiasm and inspiration, and the world is my oyster. Unofficially, having kind of a rough headspace right now, I won't lie. But it's 2020. It's a new year. We're starting fresh. And no longer, Mer, no longer will we squat on the estates of celebrities who eventually just let us down with their moral and ethical decay. We're going to build our own shit.
Yeah, we are going to build our own shit. And this way, it's only going to be our fault if anything happens.
Exactly. We're taking responsibility. And that's personal responsibility. You can't be responsible for the whole world.
Yes.
That's much less the moral compass of celebrities. But you can be responsible for yourself.
Yeah. So that's we have gotten off the long road of loneliness and poured our foundation. We can see the lonely Christmas tree farm from here, but it's like it's a long walk to get there. So
we wanted to settle near it. I find it hauntingly beautiful.
Yes, we are out of Lonely County, though.
Yes, but we are out of the loneliness. I was going to say peninsula, but that's not the right thing. What's the word that means like three areas that are joined together? Like the tri-state.
Oh.
This doesn't matter. It's a metaphor.
Metropolitan? Metropolitan area?
Maybe? I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm just abandoning
Okay.
The whole thing.
Okay.
Point being, we were like, this is a fertile land. We shall settle here.
Yes. We shall and pour concrete on this fertile land.
We found concrete. We looked up a YouTube video on how to make your own concrete.
That's right.
Because if Alton Brown can mill his own flour, we can make our own concrete.
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to say it. Fuck Alton Brown, too.
What'd he do?
You know, first of all, you don't realize. It took me many years to realize this. Alton Brown's kind of a dick. He really is. Kind of a dick. Didn't see it for a long time, but he's kind of a dick. Secondly, he'll go on TV and he'll say shit like that. I'll be like, hey, milling your own flour. No, seriously, just consider it. Like, I have fucking time to mill flour. You know who has time to mill flour? People who get paid to make cooking shows. Those are the only fucking people. And people who work at Goop. That's it. Those are the only two people that are milling their own fucking flour. So fuck you all. But no, I will not mill my own flour.
Yeah, when he built an outside smoker, like from parts, to smoke his own salmon, that's when I started to go, no, dude, you... He literally taught me how to cook. Like, I was not into cooking until I started watching Good Eats,
Good Eats is an amazing program.
Over, 15 more than that years ago. But then, things got weirder. So, you said you're just going to say that he's a dick. How is he a dick? I didn't know he was a dick.
You kind of watch how he treats other people. Like, it started with that, Cutthroat Kitchen show.
Yeah, that's a terrible show. That's mean.
And that's a show. And so I found it entertaining for a long time. I was like, oh, he's kind of doing like a Joker-like character. But then you see him in interviews and stuff, and you start to realize, bit of an elitist prick. He actually kind of is. And it's very disappointing to me personally. You know? I think he's crawled up his own ass a little bit.
Mm.
And I think, it's hard. It's inevitable when you're, because yeah, he's like a food celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Get rich, you get famous, you kind of become an elitist prick. It seems sadly unavoidable.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, none of this has anything to do with the business of writing.
No, it doesn't. I'm just a big fan, and I hadn't heard that he was a dick or with it. But, we could just say he came by to pour us the freshly milled concrete, but I think that's a little late to say that, so we should just go back and edit the whole thing.
Yeah. At least we're not squatting on his estate and then
No,
then we'll
and then that's just a death knell for whatever tell all really, is gonna come out.
We're the problem. We're like carriers. The internet loves somebody and then we pretend to squat on their estate for our dumb podcast and then they turn out to be a hideous person.
Yeah.
I don't know. For the record, there's no like Alton Brown scandal or like a piece of information that I found out. I just personally, this is my opinion that I've been forming over the past couple of years, watching him in interviews and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Good Eats too. I'm a huge Good Eats fan. That's an amazing program. But just something I know, and it makes me sad because I was an Alton Brown fan too. I believe that Alton's cakes don't rise, they ascend. You know, I believe that for a long time, and I feel like it's not true, and it's very sad to me personally. But anyway, so we're building a new HQ. We're building a new lair.
We are responsible for our own actions.
We're responsible for our own actions. If you've never listened to the show before, first of all, eventually we do talk about the business of writing. Eventually we do that. We talk about the business of writing.
Eventually.
Secondly, we didn't literally actually pour concrete near our Christmas tree farm. That's just the kind of gimmick that the show has, where every episode we come to you live from a different location. And that location used to be the imaginary estate of celebrities. But mm-hmm. every time we would pick a celebrity to live on their estate, like a week later, you'd find out that they were like a horrible abuser or something. So we've stopped doing that. But that's what we're talking about. Just to give you context, if you're a new listener, that's what's going on right now. Because if you're a new listener, you're probably very confused.
Yeah. That's the problem with inside jokes.
Yeah. And I was going to say, that part doesn't change. You'll probably always be confused during the first, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of the episodes. But that's what's going on. So that's what's happening. We're taking responsibility. We're building a new lair. And we're looking to do new things, Murr. We're looking to do old things in new ways, I guess would be a better way to say it.
Yes. Well, as you said, I share some of your dissatisfaction with the beginning of the year. And I have been trying to figure out how to, it's like, I don't know if I'm ready to give numbers yet, but I was looking at our download numbers and I don't quite get how the fuck we want a Hugo. Because we don't have a ton of listeners. We have very passionate listeners.
We do. We have very passionate.
And we love the listeners. We love the listeners that tell us they're listeners. We love the listeners that come up to us at cons to say they're listeners. We love the attendees of the live Ditch Digger episodes at cons. But when you look at the numbers, there's not a lot. And I think that one of my goals in 2020 is to increase that number. Now, that sounds easy, but honestly, it's vague. And from what I've learned about goal making, you need more than increase our numbers. And Matt and I were also talking about book promotion and how you just don't get how that whole word of mouth magic happens.
Yeah, that's a whole episode in and of itself, and it's not going to be this episode, because frankly, I'm just not in a mental or emotional place where I can talk about it freely right now. Like, I would just basically break down and start sobbing. But that conversation, which we should and will have, Murr, led to the conversation about this show and our goals with that and how it can be equally hard to promote a podcast. And I've had the same feelings you have, Murr. The thing that occurred to me while you're talking about that is we really do, and this kind of illustrates that, really. You forget what an incredibly narrow thing something like the Hugo Awards actually is.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it really just comes down to a few hundred people at the end of the day.
Especially with the newer awards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And by newer awards, I mean like the awards in the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's because nobody who fills out a Hugo ballot has ingested even or consumed even close to all the actual content that is on a Hugo ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. So you get people who don't vote, or you get people that only vote for a thing they may have heard of, or they just fucking pick something at random. I don't know. But it's literally just that kind of stuff really gets so inflated and so conflated. Like, you forget that it's an incredibly small group of people determining this thing that we take so incredibly seriously. And the fact that we won a Hugo Award really illustrates that fact.
Yeah, for the record, if you don't know, this is something that I realize a lot of people don't know. I did a big blog post about it, but that was years and years ago, is that if you attend Worldcon, the what you are buying is not only just a ticket to attend Worldcon, you are buying a membership into the World Science Fiction Society, of which you have the right to nominate in the Hugo Awards, vote in the Hugo Awards, and, God help you, attend the business meeting to decide the future of the World Science Fiction Society, the Hugos, Worldcon, all of that. It's a lot of power that you're buying with that option. However, the business meeting follows Robert's Rules of Order, which I'd never heard of until the Worldcon business meeting, and it makes me want to stick a fork in my eye, even though I know it's so important, it's really hard to attend. But I am going on this tangent just to say that if you're wondering if we're ranting about, you know, only a few hundred people, many more people buy their membership to Worldcon without knowing that they have the ability to nominate or vote or attend the business meeting. And when you pay that couple $100 to get in, that is part of what you're paying for. So if you feel like you want a voice in where the genre is pointing, there it is.
No, absolutely. And I, to clarify, I just meant that the difference making can come down to a few hundred people.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean like that's all that's taking part or is able to take part.
Sometimes it is. Like I said, with the newer votes, there's not a lot of people that vote for like Fan Writer or Fancast, but there are, you know, they still give out those awards because we find it important. But so this is not necessarily going to be about writing, but it is going to be about promotion because I want to take Ditch Diggers and make it our own subject for self-promotion, which is we're going to take this podcast, take the plan for the podcast, make a plan for the podcast, and then we'll discuss how it's going in the upcoming weeks and months.
Yeah, in a way, we're taking it back to the beginning, Mur, because this whole podcast, this whole multi-Hugo Award-nominated slash winning podcast that we have, it all started with a free-form conversation that was kind of brainstorming about what we weren't happy with in our careers and how to, like, fix it.
Yeah.
That's how this whole thing started. That was the first episode we had. Before we even had a name for this podcast or knew what it was or knew what it was going to be, it was just a conversation we had, an honest conversation, trying to figure out, where did some of these things go wrong and how can we improve them?
Yeah.
So we're going to do that with the pod. Not that the podcast has gone wrong.
No.
You know, we'll talk about that a little too. Like we've been off the track a little bit, but it's not that it's gone wrong and not that we're unhappy with it. And we love our listeners. And as Mur says, you're very dedicated people. And we appreciate it. But just how can we do better and how can we get to where we want to be? That's all. And I think that's a conversation we all have about everything all the time.
So, right.
Very prevalent. So, Mur.
Yeah.
How do we get to where we want to be?
Well, when people ask me, because I am a podcasting veteran. No, I was going to say veteran, but.
Hall of Famer.
They ask me how to build their audience. You know, my first thought is when you find out, tell me.
Right.
But honestly, there's a couple of things that we are not very good at, and I don't know how all of this extends to writing, but I'm just going to say it. One of them is consistency. People like to know when to expect content. While we're not on network television, there's still enough people out there who are used to the idea of, you know, Buffy's going to be on Thursday nights. Let's look forward to Thursday. Which, you know, that concept is dying in the binge culture, but I think a lot of people still appreciate the idea. It's like, I saw somebody posting happiness gifts when waking up remembering that Ronan Farrell's new episode would drop today.
Right.
And then the crying gift saying that they realize they have to wait till next week to get the next episode. You know, it's like, that is all based on scheduling. And so we need to be more consistent with that. And we work equally hard on this show. I do the production and then I send it all to Matt and he does the QA and he sends it back to me with the show notes and telling me whether I need to fix anything that I may have missed. And sometimes I have been slow to send it to him and sometimes he has been slow to get it back to me. And sometimes we just don't record.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do. This podcast is one of about 10 million things that we both do.
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult. It's another thing I was, you know, kvetching to Murr about before the show is like, my schedule right now just isn't sustainable over a long time frame. Like, I need to find a way to make things more compact with everything I'm doing right now. And, you know, I just feel like that sounds very like I threatened to like stop doing the show or whatever. It's not about that. It's about all the other stuff. Like, I'll always record shit with Murr. Like, mm-hmm. you know, this helps to de-stress me when we finally get into it. But the scheduling part and everything around it is the stressful part. I love the recording part.
Yeah, but, that was, oh, sorry, go on.
No, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, that was going to be my next my next point, because for both I Should Be Writing and Ditch Diggers, I have stepped back in doing interviews. And part of it is because of the stress of extra scheduling and extra organizing people's schedules. And it's like, it's enough for me just to try to figure out when Matt and I are going to record, much less try to tie in two or three more people, or no, one or two more people. And that's all doable, but it creates stress for me. And when I was realizing both my podcasts were getting very, very inconsistent, I realized I had to boil it down to the basics to get started again. And that's why I removed the interviews. But one thing interviews do...
The dog agrees, Murr. The dog vehemently agrees.
I got a very nice email from somebody saying they always smile when they hear the dogs in the background. So this is for you.
I always smile when I have the dogs in the background. Everybody loves dogs. Dogs are money. In fact, anything, one of the things we should put on the list is have the dogs on the podcast.
Yeah, to me it says a non-professional, but there's not a whole lot I can do to kick the dogs out of my office, which is not a padded soundproof room. But anyway, so for my own mental health and to keep me from pod fading, I stopped doing the interviews, but I think to make a stronger show, we can get people on again, because people like different voices, number one, and number two, when an author's on your show, they're likely to say, hey, I was on the Ditch Diggers, and then their people will check us out. After a small pause to take care of the dog, and I didn't take care of the dog the way the mafia takes care of people, I just, you know, put her in a crate with a treat.
You just made it clear that you didn't kill your dog.
Yes, I did.
That was necessary.
Look, these are dark times, dude. You never know what people are going to be thinking. So, anyway. We're talking about getting more people on the show.
Yeah, I remember. I do want to go back to what I was going to say, though.
Yes, please.
All right, so I'm just going to start again from the beginning of what I was saying. So having guests on is definitely one place where we've kind of gotten off track a little bit, and it's an important area, and definitely one we need to get back into. I do want to pause, though, and say I'm glad you made the point about how getting rid of the interviews was necessary at the time mm-hmm. for you, because I think that's very important. Like, we want to have guests on. We want to give you different voices. We want to give you different perspectives. We want to be able to cross-promote. But, like, if having guests on is inhibiting being able to do the show, then there's no show. So, like, sometimes you have to do what's necessary for you to keep creating the content that you're creating. So, and I just feel like that's an important point to be made. You know, it's you have to do what's necessary for you and your mental health and your self-care to be able to be okay and still keep creating the content you're creating.
Yeah.
That being said, I have been aware for a very long time that, like, we used to have guests, and we don't really have guests anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's bad for a number of reasons, because, like, one, it inhibits what we can talk about, because unlike, and this is not me throwing shade at anyone or, like, sub-podcasting anyone, which is, like, the podcast version of subtweeting someone,
mm-hmm.
but, like, other outlets or other places, we don't just like to talk out of our ass about whatever's hot and topical right now. Like, we'd like to have experts on who can talk to those things, and also people who are going through those things who can talk about them, you know, from their perspective. Like, we want to do an episode about everything that's happened and is still happening with the romance writers, you know, the RWA.
Yeah, we actually got a request from a listener who said, we'd really like to see, hear the Ditch Diggers talk about all the shit going on in the RWA. Yeah, and I told her that, yes, it was coming.
Yeah, we have a business of writing podcasts. That is, like, exactly what we do. And even though I've been following along on Twitter and reading, and, you know, following all the sources and everything, like, I know what's going on. One, I don't feel like I have researched it enough or I'm expert enough to talk about it authoritatively. And two, I don't feel like we should be having that conversation ourselves, being removed from it, because neither of us are romance writers. Like, I want to get a romance writer who is in the middle of all that on the show so we can give it the proper format and the proper perspective and give the proper voice to it deserves, you know?
Yes.
So to create the content at the standard and the level that we want to create it at, we need to have other people on the show. It's just that makes the logistics of the show 50 times harder. But we want to do that. So just for practical purposes, good. And then, like Merce said, that's one of the ways you grow your listenership is by having guests on, cross-promoting with your guests. And, you know, the bigger and more well-known guests you have on the show, the more people are exposed to your listenership. And we were doing that for a while, and I felt like it was working. Like, not, you know, gangbusters, but I felt like we got talked about more online, and we had more of a reach and more new people kind of chiming in. So That's definitely a big, like, that and consistency, as Merce said, I think those are two big ways that we can focus on growing the listenership of the show this year. And also, again, it just makes the show better and makes it what we want it to be. So, yeah. And I'll just tail into that, like, put the bullet point on. If you wonder why we haven't talked about a certain issue or a certain topic or a certain thing that's going around on Twitter or whatever, it's not that we weren't aware of it or we didn't want to talk about it. We just didn't want to hijack the conversation for the purposes of covering a hot button topic. If we're going to talk about something, we want it to be informed and we want to give voice to the people who are actually going through it, you know, on the ground. So.
Right. So I'm going to be attending Confusion this week, provided Matt and I can actually do what we just promised to do, which is be more consistent and get this out before midday Thursday. But I'm going to be attending Confusion in Detroit, and I think I might be coming up against some... Not coming up against... Man, I've just got really, really mean words I'm choosing today. I believe I'm going to be in the same con with some people who are more acquainted with the RWA than I am, and I might be able to get them to sit down and talk about it. So I'm hoping to do some interviews and get some stuff back to us next week. I prefer to interview with Matt, but when I travel and he doesn't, then we can't do that. But
yeah.
Anyway, so we will be bringing you something about that. So, Matt, how do you think we can take this... this sounds like a leading question, but he doesn't know what's coming. How do you think we can take these two goals for our podcast and apply them to our writing career?
Well, I mean, consistency, I think, applies to everything. You talked about, you know, binge-watching kind of killing the episodic weekly TV model, and there's a lot of truth to that. But, I mean, that also applies to YouTube content. You know, video kind of content, people want regularity with that, and people who are regular with it do better.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that to keep an audience's attention because there's so much shit, which is like, you know, number 57 on the list of things that I'm depressed about right now is there's so much shit, Mer. There's so much stuff out there. You start to feel like, why even put more stuff out there? Who the hell has time or the attention span to you know, consume our content when there's so much content out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that you rise above is with consistency and regularity. You know, with we put out stuff every Wednesday, come Wednesday to get your stuff. Like, people have to know that if you're going to have any shot of building and sustaining an audience over a period of time. And I think that applies to any kind of content, like books. You could buy that straight to books, man. Like, people, ideally, they want their, you know, the sequel in their series every year. You know, preferably, you know, a certain time frame from when the last book came out. That's you're not always able to do that. But if you look at, like, the people who do series that sustain over a long period of time, you know, and they put them out regularly, like, you do very well with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can apply that idea of consistency or regularity to, like, everything you do. And promotional purposes, too. Like, you gotta apply that same principle. You know, a lot of authors I know, we get into like scheduling tweets and scheduling them on a consistent rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, and like people feel like they're going to be annoying when they do that. What you have to remember is most people aren't going to see a single tweet.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this the other day, man. It's like, you know, you can, it feels sometimes like if you have a book coming out, you can literally go over to someone's house every day and spray paint the name and release date of the book on their walls for a year. And then 6 months after the book comes out, that same person will come up to you and be like, oh, you had a book come out? When did that happen?
Yeah, John Picasso did a Kickstarter for some of his art, and he said he felt like he was promoting it way, way too much. And an hour after the Kickstarter ended, he got a whole bunch of, oh my God, I didn't know you were doing this. Can I still buy it?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. It's so incredibly, I would put that on my top five list of things that are frustrating about this business. And there are a lot of things about this business I'm frustrated with right now. But that is just, and that, but seriously, you have to remember that. It's not, you know, like you can't be 24/7 in people's faces, and that can't be all you do. That's really the disconnect that I think people don't see or do have for this kind of stuff, is it's not promoting your stuff or promoting it consistently. I can speak. I know words. Mm-hmm. I do words for a living.
You do. You are
it's
words.
Not that, it's not consistently and regularly promoting your stuff. It's when that's all you do. You know,
yeah.
That's what you can't do. You can't make it all about promotion all the time. Like, if you have your Twitter feed, your Instagram, your YouTube, whatever the fuck it is, whatever platform you use, it needs to be about you. First of all, because that's what people want to connect with. They want to connect with you. They want to connect with a real person. They don't want to connect with a brand. It has to be about you. And then within that, you have to freely, consistently, and regularly promote your stuff. That's all it is. And you have to do that because people are going to miss it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not obnoxious. It's like, it's necessary. So consistency and regularity apply as much to promoting your content as creating your content, whatever kind of content that is. Like, you have to be regular and consistent about it and set a schedule and remind people, because even people who are exposed to it are going to forget about it because there's so much other shit going on in their lives. So that's a huge lesson to apply with all this stuff.
Yeah. And along the same lines, I just did a mentor meeting with, I signed up to be one of the SIFWA mentors, and my mentee was saying, you know, I don't do a lot of social media. Is there any point to doing it before I become an author? And I'm like, of course there is, because you're not going to be promoting yourself all the time. You're not going to be talking about writing all the time. You're going to be talking to people. And, you know, I hate to say it like it's mercenary, but note that I never network with somebody who I don't like. But, you know, what you're doing is you're networking. You see Stacia Decker post something about dogs, and you like dogs, so you talk to Stacia Decker about dogs. Stacia Decker is a science fiction fantasy agent. You see my agent.
I
love Stacia. Stacia's great. Yeah.
Stacia's great, but, like, I started following Stacia because of her dogs.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like, and
that shit worked.
Yeah, and it's like you like hockey. You say anything about hockey to my agent, and you can have a conversation. I mean, you get to know people, not just agent person over there and writer person over there, and you're networking within your field of interest. And so when you have a book, you already got Stacia Decker because you talk about dogs together, etc. Stacia, if you are listening, I apologize to be using you. It's just, I know how much you love dogs, so that's why you came to mind. But it's like, and I'm not saying people will sign you because you get along with them, but it never hurts to have a friendly conversation with somebody who you could work with. That's what interviews are all about. Job interviews are the exact same thing. And people don't say, oh, job interviews are so mercenary. It's like, networking is important. That's how kind of we do slow job interviews. It kind of fell apart because you want to network with everybody, not just editors and agents, but still,
networking is the job interview that never ends. Yeah. That's the way to get people to do it right there.
Shit.
You know, I didn't want to
my
network,
metaphor
but
fell
then I was
apart.
Listening to the Ditch Diggers podcast, and they just made it sound like so much fun. I'm going to go out and network right now, because who doesn't like a never-ending job interview? Anyway,
I can cut that part out.
No, leave totally. Creating comedy, but that's what we're doing.
I was trying to say it as a positive because people talk about networking like it's mercenary and not genuine conversation to people. And
oh no, you absolutely made the point.
Yeah.
It was just is a funny button to push.
Okay, yeah. The job interview that never ends. You can look at it that way and walk into a convention bar in your three-piece suit and your resume in hand and go, I thought the ditch digger said this is what was happening. Anyway.
Let me buy you a drink and tell you about my 5-year plan. And my special skills, none of which are true.
And how about my weaknesses? I work too hard. Right. I care too much. I volunteer
I'm too
much often.
Of a perfectionist. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I volunteer too much.
I just spend too much time volunteering.
Sometimes I hit people with my car. I'm sorry, I'm quoting The Office at Matt. Matt gets it. I don't know if listeners will. Anyway, so yes, So other things, one of the big things to do with podcasting and is dealing with the whole word of mouth. And that is something really, really infuriating because it's never anything you can control because it's not your mouth. And it's not.
It's
Tell
not
me
your
I'm
mouth.
Wrong.
No, it's... That's also a very important lesson about consent, which is always worth talking about, and I mean that sincerely. It is not your mouth. But no, that's you can't it's one of those classic things you need, but you can't control at all, ever.
But do you remember long time ago when our friend Earl Newton was doing the his video podcast, and wasn't that Stranger Things?
Yes, that yes. was I wrote for that show. Yeah,
yes.
It was a television program because it ended up on TV. But yeah, it was like a half hour anthology, SFF anthology series.
Yeah,
video.
And it was pretty for being small as it was. It was pretty highly produced. It was impressive.
Oh no, it's very high end.
But because it was so high end, it was hard for Earl to handle that on his own and keep consistency. And so one time when he had been gone for a while, he came back and said, hey, I'm real glad that you guys are still watching. But what I need from you is for you to go tell one person about this show.
Yeah, tell a friend. If you like what we do,
one.
Tell
one person about this show. And a lot of people say, you know, I'd love to support you on Patreon, but I can't afford it now. We get that. Of course we get it's baffling that people do support us, and it's wonderful, but it's totally get if people can't. And I get the sweetest apology emails if people have to stop supporting. And I'm like, you supported us in the first place. That was wonderful. You do what you need to do with your money. But it costs you nothing to tell a friend.
Yeah, signal boosting is always a free thing you can do that helps immensely. So that's, yeah. Encouraging people to do that and getting people to do that is definitely a worthwhile pursuit and something that produces results. And it's something everybody can do, Mark.
People have found out that promoting your book online, interestingly enough, is not as effective as other people promoting your book. Because, of course, you're going to promote your book.
Yeah. No, what you want is for other people to talk about it passionately. Like, not even necessarily just retweet or share your stuff, your promotional stuff, even though we absolutely appreciate when anybody does that. And that's fine. And I'm not saying you have to go the extra mile or anything. But what really helps is when you personally, in your channels, on your platforms, talk passionately about something and passionately recommend something. People will connect with that way more than they will with you sharing a post from an author they've never heard of, you know? So that's the kind of word of mouth you really want to try to get to. Even though, again, sharing our stuff is great. Thank you so much for doing that. That's always worthwhile. But yeah, you see more results out of someone talking about a thing than sharing someone else talking about a thing. You know?
Yeah.
Because people are following you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be communal with you. They want to commune with you, Mark.
Yes.
And your mouth.
And it's your mouth, not anybody
else's.
It's
your mouth, not their mouth. And that's an important lesson, and you have autonomy over your mouth. But
I feel weird about this conversation.
No, I'm being totally serious. Like, okay. You have autonomy over your mouth, and, like, it's your mouth. These are always things we're talking about. But people want to hear what comes out of your mouth. So, like, when you talk about something passionately, That's a very important thing, and that really helps. Yeah, they say, you know, it's, you know, you get into that conversation of like, does Twitter sell books or whatever? And the prevailing wisdom these days, at least from my perspective, is it may not be great for selling, but it is great for brand building and awareness building of you as a creator, you know, and that leads to selling actual things.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is, again, other people talking about what you do and being interested in you and sharing that with other people. So then that's, and again, bringing it back to like the original topic of the show, that's what we need to get people to do about this show to help us grow the show. So these are lessons for us.
Yeah. So we're not just talking. This is a beg. Please talk about this show. I finally, finally got automated posting to Twitter based on when I blog about the show, when I blog about anything, but most of what I blog about is posting podcasts. And that's going to help a little bit. And someone told me, it's like, oh, well, the Facebook and Twitter are starting to crack down on that, and they may not take auto posts from blogs as high enough quality of content as a post. And I said, well, considering I always forget to post, a limited reach of post is better than nothing. So that's why I'm doing it automatedly. But if you see my post and you listen to Ditch Diggers, then not just retweeting, but maybe saying, I love this show, or they talk about cool stuff on this specific episode, or whatever. That's the kind of, that is the kind of little bit of work, little bit of legwork you have to do to spread the word to people so that people will listen. Not just, hey, I'm going to retweet the fact that Cameron Hurley has a book out today. No, I'm going to retweet Cameron Hurley's new book and say, this is the third of an amazing trilogy. Now you can read it from the beginning, or you can catch up and end it. But it's out today, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, and everybody go read it so we can talk about it. Like, yeah. That's what you want. You want the conversation. Conversation is gold, Mark.
Yeah.
Get that conversation going. Good, bad, it's all good. Just don't, you don't want indifferent, because that's the only thing I don't want. Rather you hated something I did than were indifferent about it. Because then at least there's a conversation to be had. But yeah, you want to get, that's what you want right there. You want to get to that good conversation. That good conversation.
The tone of your voice is making me feel a little weird.
Sorry. I just get excited about promotion.
Yeah. So, what else? What else do we need to do to help the little limping podcast along?
The thing that I dump all over mentally because I don't want to do it is like us going out in other spaces and promoting the shit ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? Like going on other podcasts, going on other blogs, talking about it. You know, I just, that is a thing we need, because that's just another form of cross promotion. You know, it's like, it is the same as having a guest on our podcast, us going to other podcasts or other venues and talking about our shit. It's the same thing. It just requires more work on our part. It also requires us to talk to people. I mean, we talk to people when we have guests, so I guess it's the same thing, but it just feels like more work to me.
Yeah. But we have to do a little bit of work to make this happen too.
We do, but it just seems more daunting when it's not our space, I guess.
Yeah. Know?
I've just felt very like I have not been into the idea of going to cons. I've not been into the idea of giving interviews or going on podcasts or doing readings and that's a personal thing with me that I like need, and I need to get over, because I've got two books coming out the next year and I've got to fucking promote them, and I want to promote this podcast too. But so that I have to bring it up, because that's another avenue you have, is that's another way to cross promote, is to go out onto other people's shows. So I guess if you have a podcast or a blog out there and you'd like to have either Murr or I on it, or both of us, we could try to do that. It'd be bananas, but we could try to do it. That's something that we should definitely talk to people about, Murr.
We should. Because
it's another way to get the word out.
Get the word out.
I'm doing the weird voice again.
Yes, you are.
There's nothing sexual about any of this, Murr. I'm excited about building our listenership and rededicating myself to the mightiness of Ditch Diggers.
Yeah. So anyway, sometimes if you're to equate this to book stuff again, one thing you have to do is you might have to look at your yourself, your practices, your hobbies or habits, and it came out hobbits. So that's something else.
I wish it were hobbits.
Yeah.
Wish you had to look at hobbits.
And you may have to look at what you're doing wrong in order to change and do something right and improve your reach or your brand or your sales or whatever. And, you know, it's not just let's hope the world's nice to you and spreads the word, but, you know, you got to do your end of the bargain too. And sometimes people don't like that. People don't like the fact that authors can't just sit in a room and write anymore, but that's the reality of it.
Yeah, that absolutely is, you know, and it's a shame. But yeah. I saw a tweet the other day, or it might have been this morning. I no longer have any concept of time. But they were talking about, like, something like, it must have been wild to be a writer, 70 years ago or whatever it was, where, like, Esquire would pay you to visit a small town for 5 months and then write an article about how you were depressed the whole time.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And it was funny. I found it very funny. It was probably much funnier than I paraphrased it. But also just that idea of, like, the simplicity of once upon a time, you would just write things. And then that was it. It would just go out in the world, and the rest would kind of just take care of itself. And I don't truly believe anymore that that was ever a thing, but people say it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess it had to be, because at one point there was nothing for you to do. You know, like there wasn't a massive media empire where you could go out and promote this shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't even travel. Travel wasn't even as easy. You know, novels have been around a lot longer than mass transit and the internet. So. At one point, I guess you were relegated to just writing a book, and then books were more prevalent because they were one of the only dominant forms of mass entertainment, so people would just buy it. So maybe it was easier back in the day. I don't know. But I long for simpler times, is I guess what I'm saying. Because
mm-hmm.
In these times, you have to do fucking everything all the time. You have to do every job related to your book, and it's a fucking bummer because you only get paid for one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want. I want marketing clauses in fucking publishing contracts. I want a clause like The Rock has. They have to pay The Rock like $1 million because he's going to tweet about a movie that he's in. I want The Rock's clause, Mur. I want them to pay me to promote my book if that's what they want me to do. God damn it.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, but it should. And that's what's fucked up about it. We just accept all these sad realities that shouldn't be. Like, it's, you know, and then because when it's easier just to hand wave them and be like, but that's just how things are, kid. What are you going to do? Like, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, like we've talked about those marketing questionnaires we have to fill out, which asks you various things like, hey, do you know any writers for these big sites? Which you know is going to lead to, well, if you do, get them to cover your book. Like, you just snap your fingers and you say, hey, Annalee Newitz. Cover my book. And she's like, we hung out at a con once. I'm, you know, joking. I know Annalee a little bit better than that, but I still don't feel comfortable enough to say, hey, cover my shit.
That's the thing. So few writers ever do. That's you're dealing with such, you know, it's like so many people who get into this don't have the ability to be that forward with people.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just that. And those are the people I really feel bad for. Because not only are you being asked to do something that you just shouldn't have to do. Like, it's just not your job.
Yeah.
It's not your fucking job, Mur. And everybody acts like, well, no, you should want to promote your book, and you should want to do this, and you should be willing to do this. And it's somehow entitled to say that I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I work very hard on the writing part. Like, extremely hard.
Yeah, really, I want to finish. I want to finish the next book.
Yeah, we all do. That's our job. Our job is to write the books. Our job is not to market the books. It just became this, you know, bananas mixed up thing at one point where that just became the industry standard, and we let it happen. Like, we let every shitty thing that happens to authors and writers happen because we have no collective bargaining power or a guild that's worth a fuck, and it just becomes this thing. We shouldn't have to do it. Every publisher has salaried employees whose only job is supposed to be to market their books. And they're not paying you any extra to do it as the author. So either you shouldn't have to do it, or they should pay you extra. And I don't feel like that isn't a perfectly logical way to approach things. Now, again, it's never going to fucking happen, ever. Yeah. The world will burn out into a cinder in space before that day comes to pass. But it is perfectly logical and reasonable and equitable and fair that that should be the way it is. Either you should not be required to promote your book. And then people will tell you, well, you're not required to promote your book. You're not contractually obligated to go out there and do it. And that's true in a lot of instances. But the problem is, if your publisher is going to do it, then you have to do it or the book is going to be a giant failure.
Mm-hmm.
So de facto, you have no choice. Like, your choice is either to watch the thing die or to go out there and do it yourself, which is not a choice at all after you spent months or years working on this fucking thing. So that's just an argument that pisses me off too, because that's the inevitable pushback you get to that. It's like, well, no one's requiring you to do anything. You absolutely are required to do it. Publisher marketing is useless, and you are absolutely required to do it. And it's just very I know I'm getting completely off tangent here, but it's just that's like number two on the things that are bothering me right now.
Let it all out, Matt.
Yeah, I'm just venting. It doesn't mean it's not true, but it's just. So I don't even remember what kicked this off. We were talking about going out there and promoting the podcast. That was what we were talking about, and then we were relating it to how to use that when you write books or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what we were actually talking about, and then I just lost my mind for a minute. But yeah, so that's... lost the plot, Mark.
So bringing it back home, we are going to try more consistency. We are going to try more interviews, and we're gonna ask you to tell a friend.
Try to pump the word of mouth.
Yep.
And
spread
then
the
also,
word.
we didn't really say we were gonna do it, but then the last thing I brought up was us going out ourselves to other markets to cross promote and doing interviews and doing other podcasts and other blogs and other things like that.
What's really funny is back in the day, as I can say since I'm old, the whole cross-promotion thing happened all the fucking time. You know, you would just be regularly on somebody else's show. It's just how
built
the whole podcast thing. Yes.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore. Really, at least not to me. And that, you know, that's partly my fault. I'm talking more to, when I do have people on the show, I'm focusing on writers, not specifically podcasters. But yeah, the cross promotion thing used to be a lot easier, and now I'm old and tired.
I mean, we're all old and tired, Mer. I had hairs that were a color less than 5 years ago.
God.
Now I don't have any of that at all.
I've got some teal hair dye left over.
I should just go for it.
Just
maybe
go
that
for
would
it, man.
Maybe that would help. Yeah, I don't know. Could be like Quentin Tarantino and dye my hair with HP printer ink. That
don't,
would be
don't
weird.
Don't be problem. Like Quentin Tarantino. He
in
did
any
that?
Way. In any way ever. No, it just looks like he does.
Oh, I see.
I saw him at the Golden Globes or whatever, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You look like Creed from that episode of The Office. Where he tries to age himself.
Yes.
Hey, can we get some Red Bull in these vending machines?
Yeah.
Sometimes the guy's got to ride the bull, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're all old and tired, Mer, but we have to stop acting like we're old and tired. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
So we're going to do that. So those are the things we're going to try this year, folks. And those are all the ways you can apply them to your book authoring or your content creation and promotion.
Yep.
And I hope that was helpful and informative, or at the very least amusing to everyone.
That's what we go for. If we can't be helpful and informative, we can at least amuse you.
Exactly. But we will strive to be helpful and informative in 2020.
Yes.
And this is the beginning of that. And I feel like we're starting in good faith, Mer. That's the best I can say, and as far as I'm willing to go, because I don't know how any of this is going to shake out. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. Well, considering that it is the beginning of 2020, we got to point out that it is Hugo voting season again.
It is Hugo voting season again.
And this podcast is eligible for FanCast. We have won it once. It was glorious.
We got nominated 1 year, didn't win. Got nominated the next year, won. And then last year we didn't get nominated at all. So it's been a wacky ride, Mer.
It has been, but we did get on the long list. We were very, very close.
We were literally one spot away, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
We literally were one spot away from making the final ballot last year. And there was just nothing to be done because just a lot of really good new podcasts came out the year before that. You know, there was like Serpent Cast and then
Our Opinions Are Correct.
They won. So just a lot of good stuff. So there's nothing to do about it. But we'd like to, I don't know, we'd like to be back this year. So if you're, so consider us your best fan cast is what we're saying.
Yep.
And then, since the last episode when we did my cover reveal, Mer, I can now start shilling every episode that you go and pre-order my book. I can start
doing it.
Because it's a thing now. So Savage Legion, my new epic fantasy novel, big novel. Big thick novel. I don't know why that's important.
Yeah.
I just was marveling at that the other day. I was holding the book and be like, Jesus, how did I do that? That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that again. Even though I am doing that again because there are going to be two more books in the series, presumably. So anyway, I am not on my game today. Savage Legion is up for pre-order right now from all reputable online retailers. Not that if they don't have it, they're not reputable.
They're not reputable.
Don't fuck it. We'll go with that. If they don't have my book up for pre-order, fuck them. They're not reputable. We'll just say that. But anyway, this book is legitimately a very big deal for me, Mer. Very big deal. It took me a long fucking time to write it. A lot of really hard work. I'm immensely proud of it. And I would like it to do well. So if you could go pre-order that and tell other people about it, that'd be great. I have a pinned tweet on my Twitter right now with the cover. You can go share that. It tells you everything you need to know, has the link to the publisher page, has Chris McGrath's amazing cover to it that we revealed on the last episode of the year. And that would all mean a lot to me. So Savage Legion coming out July 21st. It's the first book in my Savage Rebellion trilogy, Mer, which just sounds so
badass. Sounds pretty badass.
Please support that. And that would be good. And that's all I'm going to shill, Mer, because it's so important. That's all I'm going to shill. I'm going to keep it to one shill. It's a one shill day, Mer.
Yeah.
One and done, as they say. Now you shill things.
Well, there's the podcast. And if you want to support the Patreon, you will help me and Matt out financially and help the podcast out and all that stuff. You can support us at patreon.com/mightymer. It's my name, but Matt does get some of it. So, I just feel weird because you can't like do a Patreon for a project. You do Kickstarter for a project, but Patreon you do a person. So it's weird.
No, it's just funny because every time this comes up, you always make it sound like you're tossing me, like you're a giant tossing me scraps from the table, like Jack and the Beanstalk or something.
No, I'm saying it's funny
because that's not what happens.
Okay.
We divide things fairly and evenly. It's just, for some reason, whenever you bring it up, you just get really humble about it. Like, you're like, yeah, Matt gets some of it. He does okay. You know, it's fine. So I feel the need to make it clear that Mer shares it with me evenly.
Yes.
You don't need to fight for equal pay for me on the show. I'm fine. I'm just trying to make that point.
All right. So, and you can see my other stuff at merverse.com. I have a couple of books. I have another podcast called I Should Be Writing, and yeah, that's me.
That is you, Mer. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. So we will see you next week because we are consistent.
We are consistent. We are regular. We will have more guests. We will get word of mouth going.
Yeah.
We will go out there and promote this show, Mer.
Those are
the things we will do. And we'll let y'all know how it went, so keep tuning in so you can find out if any of this crap worked.
Yes, I am going to write down our numbers so we can start keeping a benchmark and see how things go.
There are benchmarks.
Benchmarks. Yeah, milestones, benchmarks. Might even get a spreadsheet.
Might even be. We don't know. That's how bananas this shit is. We don't even know.
I know. You can support us at patreon.com/mightymer. Ditch Diggers! Theme song by Devo Spice. DevoSpice.com.